One mission.
One purpose.
Keeping DFW healthy.
My name is Dr. Sylvie Simon, and I am joined by Dr. Paul Cespedes and Dr. Christina Arce as your hosts of Doc Talk Live.
We will be joining Dr. Perrin Makadia, Dr. Samir Nangia, and Dr. Vic Prakash in bringing a new health topic to you every Monday at 5:30 p.m.
Doc Talk Live is produced by Zyga Healthcare Group, a leader in providing senior living, home health care, and hospice-related services throughout the entire DFW Metroplex, and hosted by Dallas Renal Group Physicians, providing comprehensive kidney care including transplant and home dialysis services.
For details regarding upcoming shows and to submit questions online, log on to the website doctalklive.com. That's doctalklive.com. Also, information can be found on the Doc Talk Live Facebook page.
Stay healthy, DFW.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Doc Talk Live, a health show brought to you by Dallas Renal Group. Dallas Renal Group provides comprehensive kidney care, including transplant and home dialysis services. Information can be found on DallasRenalGroup.com or on the Dallas Renal Group Facebook page. It is also sponsored by Comfort Care and hospice-related services throughout the entire DFW Metroplex. My name is Dr. Sylvie Simon, and I will be co-hosting today's show with Dr. Kashif Chowdhury. We have several great shows scheduled in the upcoming weeks. More details can be found on our website, doctalklive.com. Again, that's doctalklive.com. And while you're at it, please head on over to our new YouTube channel, Doc Talk Live, and like, comment, and subscribe to see more of us speaking on the topics you would love to hear about. Also, if you're a healthcare professional and would like to be on the show, please do send us a request through our website, Doc Talk Live, or through our Doc Talk Live Facebook page. Dallas Renal Group is partnering with the Texas Kidney Foundation. Remember this, we announced it a couple weeks ago. This is another reminder that they are hosting free screening, free kidney screening event on Saturday, November 11th. That's this weekend at the Central YMCA in Arlington. The event is free and open to the public from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. It only takes about 30 minutes to get screened for kidney disease and talk one-on-one with a medical professional about your results. Be sure to bring your friends and loved ones. Free screening, again, is this Saturday, November 11th at the Central YMCA. It's on 2200 South Davis Drive in Arlington, Texas.
This is Dr. Chowdhury, your co-host for Doc Talk Live. Today, my fellow listeners, we have a wonderful show for you. Now, cancer is one of the leading causes of morbidity and mortality worldwide. With the number of new cases continuing to rise, the nearly 1 in 6 deaths globally, a lot of suffering and massive death rate of cancer can be reduced by more systematic efforts in focusing on things such as diet, physical activity, and reducing tobacco use. So for that matter, we will be discussing oral cancer. And we have Dr. Karthik Khanduri and Dr. Eric Nadler in the studio with us. To be part of the conversation, please call us at 972-235-5555. Again, that number is 972-235-5555. We'll be happy to take your questions live throughout the show. Dr. Khanduri, Dr. Nadler, welcome to Doc Talk Live. Thank you very much for volunteering your time to be part of this show. Please tell our listener a little bit about yourselves. Dr. Nadler.
I'm Eric Nadler. I'm a medical oncologist at Texas Oncology and Baylor University Medical Center, Baylor Dallas, and I specialize largely in lung and head and neck cancer.
Hi, I'm Karthik Khanduri. I'm a colleague of Eric Nadler's, work maybe a few offices down the line. I too primarily work in lung and head and neck cancer areas.
Thank you guys again for being here. That's Dr. Nadler. And Dr. Khanduri, who's joining us back again, and today we'll be discussing again oral cancers. So let's begin with some statistics again. So the American Cancer Society's most recent estimates for oral cavity and oral pharyngeal cancers in the United States for 2017 are about 50,000 people. They estimate about 50,000 people will get oral cavity or oral pharyngeal cancer. And of those newly diagnosed individuals, only slightly more than half, that's about 25,000 people, will be alive in 5 years. That's a pretty dramatic statistic. And about an estimated 9,700 people will die of these cancers. Dr. Khanduri, can you please start off by telling us what exactly is oral cancer?
So oral cancer is a subtype of head and neck cancers and includes disease which can extend from the tip of the lip down into the mouth, the oral cavity, all the way into the back of the throat. We divide head and neck cancers into different parts based upon anatomical stations where the disease might be. So if it's in the mouth, it's an oral cavity cancer. If it's in the back part of the tongue or in the back part of the pharynx, that's the oropharynx or the hypopharynx or the larynx-based cancers. And then, of course, if it's in the nose, it turns out to be a head and neck cancer from the nasopharynx.
Dr. Nadler, how is oral cancer diagnosed and who is at risk?
So it is a changing demographic. Historically, the types of exposures that we'd see with head and neck cancer, even as recently as 20 years ago, were tobacco or alcohol or other types of toxins in South Asia, betel nut and things like that, caustic agents. And interestingly enough, in the past 15 to 18 years, there's been a demographic shift where viruses have been a bigger driver, including HPV with oropharyngeal cancer and EBV in Asia driving a nasopharyngeal cancer.
Thank you, doctors. For those of you just tuning in, this is Doc Talk Live, the live health show. We have medical oncologists here, Dr. Kanduri and Dr. Nadler, discussing oral cancer. That's mouth cavity and head and neck cancers. The number to the studio with your questions is 972-235-5555, 972-235-5555, and we'll be happy to take your questions. Dr. Kanduri, what are some symptoms or signs of oral cancer?
So any spot or an ulcer in the mouth or a sore that is not healing, a whitish plaque or a reddish plaque, may be concerns for cancer. There are other circumstances of loose teeth, possible lump in the mouth or in the neck, or pain in the area of the throat with a sore throat or difficulty swallowing. All these considerations can be symptoms of oral cancer.
You're on Doc Talk Live. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, I would like to know what are the symptoms for throat cancer or the larynx cancer? Because my voice had been considerably changing, and it's always painful in the throat. So just wanted to know if those are indications of something cancerous. Thank you.
Well, obviously a lot of the symptoms that Dr. Kanduri mentioned, and those are the symptoms of this disease, are also symptoms of the common cold or seasonal allergies. The types of things that should warrant further exploration are things that don't get better in 10 to 14 days. Those are things that you'd certainly want to address with initially probably your primary care doctor and then probably a doctor that are called ENT or ear, nose, and throat physicians who can properly look down your throat. Those would be the first steps for those types of symptoms that don't resolve in a 10 to 14 day window.
You're on Doc Talk Live. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I have a question about statistics again. Is cancer prevalent more in families that have a family history, or it can happen to just anybody at random?
That's a good question.
There are familial risks in certain genetic syndromes for head and neck cancer, but those are in essential rare. There are things like Fanconi syndrome and dysgenesis, congenita, which potentially could be associated with genetic circumstances. But in by far and large, the biggest sources of cancer, of course, are problems that are, as Dr. Nadler talked about, irritative substances like tobacco, alcohol, HPV viruses, loose dentures, possibility of usage of betel nut or betel leaves and areca nut, etc.
Going back to the symptoms, guys, you mentioned pain, but you know a lot of times cancers or whatever goes undiagnosed, pain is actually a big trigger. But is pain more of an early sign of oral cancer, or is this kind of a later manifestation?
It differs in all patients. There are patients who have very painless lumps or irritants, and there are other people who have open ulcers in their mouth that would be quite painful and early. Again, these are the types of things that if they really persist for a couple of weeks, I'd I'd bring them to the attention initially probably of a primary care physician or a family physician, and shortly thereafter, if you did not feel that they're being properly addressed, to an ENT, which is an ear, nose, and throat physician.
Let's take some live calls. Dr. Clive, go ahead with your question.
Hi. Actually, I have a wart in my backside of the head. It is very small in size. When I went to a dermatologist, they said that, okay, it is something like that kind of wart. So is it something like, do I need to do any? And he prescribed, he said that nothing to prescribe as a medicine or something, but you can do any home remedy, kind of apple cider vinegar kind of thing. So is there something like, do I need to?
So a wart at the back of the head, is it a danger sign?
Well, warts are frequently noted in the skin and are most of the times a benign condition, but you should probably have yours checked out by your physician so that they can give you proper advice about how to take care of it. Many times it can be treated with some local substances, but as I said, evaluation by your physician will be able to help you.
Let's take another live call. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, I have a question about what one of the doctors was mentioning as the causes of cancer. I just wanted to know how loose dentures could actually contribute to oral cancer.
Well, loose dentures are a possible risk factor, but in most of the circumstances is because of irritation. It irritates the gum line or the buccal mucosa, and there is a constant inflammation or inability to heal up that area, and that potentially leads to precancerous states and then finally to cancer if not looked at properly.
Dr. Nadler, what are the different types of oral cancers? And you did mention some of the risk factor in the viruses. Is oral cancer related to human papilloma virus as well?
Yeah, so Dr. Kanduri mentioned it, but I'll go through it very quickly again. There are multiple stations in each of those cancers, of which encompass head and neck cancer. Starts in the nasopharynx, the top of the tube. As you move down, there's the oropharynx, the middle part of the tube, and at the bottom there's the hypopharynx, and later the larynx. And the oral cavity is every part proximal, or in our palate and in our anterior tongue, the movable part of our tongue, and in our jaw. The risk factors of each of these differ. The ones that we tend to see that are caused by HPV are in the back of the tongue or the tonsils, what we call oropharyngeal cancer. And it was estimated that was only about 20% of all the cancer that we were seeing as recently as 10 years ago. And now we think 70% of the cancer is caused by HPV in this area. And of course, we know there is a vaccine against HPV that could help mitigate this. It's something that everybody under the age of 26 should really talk to their doctor or pediatrician about vaccination program.
Let's take another live call. Go ahead with your question. You're on Doc Talk Live.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. And my first question is, like, I have a white spot inside my throat. I can see that when I open my mouth. And I went to a physician and I went to the ENT specialist also. And he did cut that part, and he tested it, and he sent for the results, and we got the results, and it says it's normal. Like, in future, will I have any problem with this white spot in my throat? And the doctor told that it's fine, it's we tested, so there is no issue with it. And my second question is, can you please the lady as informed about the free kidney testing. Can she repeat the address? Thank you.
Sure. Actually, we're going to go on break in just a few seconds. Those were great questions. We will be back and answer those questions. But for the kidney screening, the address is at the Central YMCA in Arlington, Texas. Okay, I'll get back to you guys. Okay, guys, welcome back to Doc Talk Live, a live call-in health show brought to you by Comfort Care and hospice-related services throughout the entire DFW Metroplex. Our second sponsor is Dallas Renal Group, a physician group that Dr. Kashif Chowdhury and I belong to. Dallas Renal Group provides comprehensive kidney care, including transplant and home dialysis services. Going back to before the break, just to finish that address, okay, for the screening, the kidney screening this weekend. It's at the Central YMCA in Arlington. That's 2200 South Davis Drive. 2200 South Davis Drive. And also going back to before the break, we had a caller ask about, he had a white spot on his mouth and it was biopsied and he said it was normal. I'm assuming that was no cancer. But in general, Dr. Nadler, can you tell us how one should go about this?
Well, the differential does remain broad of the things that could cause white spots or plaques in the mouth. The majority of these are benign and actually transient or temporary conditions. If there is no return of this lesion, I would think little of it. You've done your due diligence and seen medical professionals and even had it biopsied. But if there is a return of that lesion now or in the future, I would have your ENT reevaluate that and look back down the throat and broaden the differential if necessary.
Dr. Kandari, how does smoking affect oral cancer? Is tobacco the only cause of oral cancer? And why is that not all people consuming tobacco have oral cancers?
So those are excellent questions. Tobacco is an important and probably the biggest cause of oral cavity cancers overall worldwide. Of course, it's not the only reason. As I had mentioned before, there are many others, including alcohol, of course, or the combination of alcohol and tobacco. And then any number of reasons, including utilization of betel leaves and areca nuts, gutkha or pan, as they say in the South Asian population, issues with chronic inflammatory conditions like lichen planus, loose dentures, and so many other circumstances that might cause chronic irritation in the mouth or the mucosa of the mouth can lead to cancer. In relation to the issue about cigarette smoke, why does everyone not get it? Well, there are reparative mechanisms in the human body that are present, and there are repair of inflammation and tissue damage that occurs. Not everybody gets lung cancer even if you smoke, and not everybody gets all kinds of cancer even if they have had various significant risk factors. So the body, the human body, is amazing. It does have the ability to repair many of the insults that it gets, but not every time is it successful, and that's when cancer creeps in.
You're listening to Doc Talk Live. We have Dr. Kandari and Dr. Nadler in our show, and we are discussing oral cancer. To be part of the show, please call 972-235-5555. Once again, that number is 972-235-5555. So, Dr. Nadler, is oral should you get regular oral cancer screening? I mean, there is a lot of focus about preventive medicine around these cancers, and what is the process for oral cancer screening?
It's not a clear screening program that's been devised or even looked at. They've looked at saliva. They've looked at that's the largest in nasal swabs. That being said, every time you go see your dentist, there is a proper evaluation, or at least one would imagine, of your oral cavity and your teeth and your gum line. And again, that's something that's evaluated in your routine annual physical with your primary care or family physician. Outside of that type of evaluation, just good hygiene and good diligence is probably sufficient.
Okay. Let's take a live call. Go ahead with your question. You're live on the show.
Yeah, hi. I have a question. Does vitamin D deficiency have anything to do with cancer?
Was it vitamin D?
D?
Right.
Yeah, well, it has been tied up to many different illnesses, but there's not a particular circumstance that we can quote to say that a lack of a particular vitamin D is going to cause a particular type of cancer. That kind of data is still not completely available at this point of time.
So, Dr. Nadler, what are different treatment options for oral cancer, and what patients need to know about surgery of the oral cancer?
So, lengthy question. I'll take a little part of it. There are three modalities we use. The first is surgical resection, and we do that for many of the cavities. Many of the cancers, and particularly those of the oral cavity, or tend to be surgical diseases, oropharyngeal, laryngeal, and nasopharyngeal, not always. The other thing is we also have chemotherapy and radiation, and often the combination of chemo and radiation, or what we call chemoradiation. which is quite a, and all of them can be functionally limiting and toxic.
Okay. Let's take a live call. You're live on the show. Go ahead with your question. Go ahead with your question. You're live on the show. You're live on the show. Go ahead with your question.
I mean, I don't think that you have some.
I can understand you clearly. Go ahead with your.
Can you call back?
We cannot understand you clearly.
Dr. Kanduri, would you like to just finish your thought on the treatment options?
Sure. As Dr. Nadler was saying, there are multiple modalities of treatment. It depends upon where the tumor is and how do you want to approach it. We need to evaluate for staging purposes to figure out how advanced the disease is. And if one decides there is a localized tumor, many times we will ask our ENT surgeons or head and neck surgeons to help take a look at it and try to operate on it. We try to add a second or third modality, as Dr. Nadler was talking about, and that includes chemotherapy and radiation. That depends upon, again, what stage the cancer might be and what we think we need to do to try to hopefully eradicate the tumor from coming back.
Let's take another live call. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, does using lipstick cause, any kind of cancer?
That's a good question.
The answer is not conventional lipsticks that one would have. Those are pretty highly tested, often not hopefully with animal testing, but fairly safe. I presume there may be some very off-label cosmetic products which may have caustic substances in, but in general, cosmetics should be fine.
Let's take another live call. Go ahead with your question. You're live on the show.
Hi. I have a question for the doctors. The sugar-free, like the Splendor, does it cause cancer? That is one. Second, the frozen food with test preservative, does it cause cancer? Third, when you food in the microwave with the radiation, does it cause cancer? Fourth, the drinking water, which is available through the taps, and if it is warm water, because I don't want to take a refrigerated water, I just directly want to take it from the tap water, will that cause cancer?
That's a long list, Dr. Nadler. You want to take a shot at it?
I'll take the first few. Microwave cooking has never been shown, although many people who don't like it, has never been shown to elevate risk of cancer. That one's definitive. The manner in which water is consumed, and even tap or regular water, with rare exception, is probably safe. Obviously, Flint or other areas, that may not be true. I'm trying to remember the initial two. The initial two you mentioned were a little, false sugars, yes. Saccharin and those otherwise. The data is all over the place if you want to know the truth. There had, at least with some of the early fructose sugar substitutes, there was questionable ties to malignancy and oncogenesis. It's been not clearly shown with any of the more recent ones. So the answer is most of the common risk factors or things that we're exposed to daily tend not to be very high risk factors.
Dr. Kanduri, did you have anything to add?
Oh. No, well, I think that's practically correct. Most of the circumstances are unknown. We don't have great epidemiological data to tell about specific chemicals. There's been a lot of brouhaha in the past about certain sugar substitutes and or cosmetics or water, etc. I will say that as long as the water is potable by your community standards, that should be generally okay. But there's always a risk that can be talked about, but there's never been a substantiated risk, so we cannot actually tell that there is actually a link.
Does that also go for the big one, cell phone use? Any data on that one? Because we, all of us, are constantly on that one.
There is none to date.
Okay, well, we'll keep doing it.
No clear data
until then. Okay, just for you guys to know, we are talking about oral cancer with Dr. Nadler and Dr. Kanduri. The number to the studio is 972-274-5555. That's 972-235-5555. 972-235-5555. Dr. Kanduri, how about if in the testing, patients are told that their lymph nodes are involved. Do patients need to have their lymph nodes? First of all, what is a lymph node, and if they need to have this removed?
So lymphatics are a type of circulatory organ in our body which tries to clear out toxins and is present throughout our bodies. And there are some areas called nodes where the lymphatic vessels drain. And unfortunately, when there is cancer or if there's progression of cancer in a particular area, those cancer cells can also drain into these lymph nodes. So if the lymph nodes are involved, we certainly expect to have those removed as best as we can. And if they cannot be removed, as we mentioned, we want to use other means and modalities, including chemotherapy and radiation, to help take care of them.
Let's take another live call. Go ahead with your question. You're live on the show.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I think you guys are doing a great job fighting with this disease. And I really appreciate it. And all the listeners of Phoenicia, I just want to let you know, I mean, you might be aware, like, the cancer is very dangerous disease for everyone. The people who have it, they go through with this. I have, like, a small solution. Like, in India, there is something called as a Sita Phal. And in the same way, you have a Ram Phal and Hanuman Phal, which in English, it is called as a Graviola. And if one takes the graviola leaf, if they make it powder and drink the graviola leaf, that's good for the cancerous patients. And the people who don't have cancer, they will never get the cancer, any kind of cancer. And again, it's my view.
Absolutely. We'll share this with our listeners. You want to say anything about that, Dr. Kanduri?
There's a whole bunch of natural remedies and naturopathic products that people have touted in terms of prevention for cancers or prevention of diseases in general. And certainly some of them have significant properties, including antioxidant properties, etc. The problem for us is to try to qualify or quantify the exact nature and how much one were to take about a particular substance, that which has not been clearly evaluated or identified in science. So I'm not saying that there are not some things out there that could help, but unfortunately for specific medical advice, it's very hard to give a particular type of treatment or medicine based upon a plant or a fruit to be utilized in this fashion.
Let's take another live call. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, doctor. My question is, effect of like chemo and radiation. Now, there is a more one is immuno and immunity therapy. What is the difference between immuno and immunity therapy for the cancer patient?
That's a very good question.
Great question. In the past 5 years, there has been a whirlwind of discussion of immunotherapy. Immunotherapy is essentially trying to hone the body or trick the body into attacking something foreign, and in this case the cancer is foreign, and trying to use your own body's immune system to battle the cancer for us. It's very novel and very exciting.
We're approaching the end of our show. Remember to log on to our website, DocTalkLive, that is DocTalkLive.com, to obtain more information about our next week's expert. And please don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to our new YouTube channel, DocTalkLive. Dr. Kanduri, Dr. Nadler, any last-minute information that you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, all I would like to say is there's a significant progress in oncology and cancer care. There's a lot of stuff to be talked about, clinical trials, immunotherapy, as Dr. Nadler said, etc. I would urge you to talk to your doctors, reach out to them. If you have questions or considerations for us, you can reach us and you look us up at www.texasoncology.com, and I'll turn it to Eric.
Thank you very much for your time and your energy this afternoon.
This is Dr. Chaudhary and Dr. Simon signing off. Stay healthy, DFW.